Thank you.
You're wanting it.
Okay, so it's always fun coming back to KITP. Many thanks to organizers. And what I'm going to discuss here is completely out of phase with all the remaining talks in this workshop. Ferroelectricity, that's what I'm going to discuss. So, but hopefully this is useful to you. So domain topology in mostly ferroelectrics, but in general, complex materials. So we discuss all kinds of complex materials in this workshop, and this kind of a domain topology analysis can be applied to all these complex materials with large spin coupling. That's what I believe. However, today I'm going to discuss only mostly for ferroelectrics. Here I have a long list of collaborators. I'm not going to go through all of them. This Fei-Ting Huang did this beautiful TM images taken by him. And Evan Wang, mostly optical microscope work, and also crystal growth. And Nunsuk Oh did transport measurement. Let me start with this simple concept. Anti-ferromagnetism. If you have anti-ferromagnetism, spin can be up, down, or left, right, or in and out. So these domains, they are called directional variants. Another possible domains or domain boundary is shown here. So for example, up, down, up, down, up, down, and then up is missing, and then we have down, up, down, up, down, up, down. So there's something called anti-phase boundary. So there is a phase shift here. So in simple anti-ferromagnetism like this, this kind of anti-phase boundary should exist. However, as far as I'm aware, experimentally, it has never been seen, even though this is a very simple concept. So again, this anti-phase boundary for anti-ferromagnetism, there is a pi phase shift. So the concept is very much like, let's say, polyethylene. If you have a soliton, you have also this pi phase shift. One can generalize this. Let's say if you have an up, up, down, down spin, once this first up is missing, and then up, down, down, and then up, down, down. If you continue like this, you have basically 2 pi over 4, so 90 degree phase shift. So here again, we have anti-phase domains, and this is anti-phase domain boundary. This is a hexagonal rare earth manganese O3 ferroelectric system, in fact, multi-ferroelectric system. So here, ferroelectricity or ferroelectric polarization direction is either plus C or minus C direction. In addition, in the AB plane, this is a layered system. And in this AB plane, so this case, manganese. Manganese ions form triangular lattice or hexagonal lattice. However, when ferroelectric transition comes in, some of the manganese ions distance becomes smaller so that a trimer forms like this. For this trimerization, there should be three kinds of trimerization anti-phase domains. And those three types of trimerization anti-phase domains combined with two different polarization direction, plus C and minus C, there should be six types of domains. Those six types of domains form some interesting pattern like this one. Probably most of you have seen this. Yes?
What is the other parameter?
Other parameter here is, okay, so other parameter, you can consider this ferroelectric polarization is order parameter, but it turns out that there is a secondary order parameter. The primary order parameter is trimerization. Let me go back a little bit. So here we have a layered structure. So for example, like yttrium MnO3. So we have an yttrium layer here, and then we have a manganese oxygen layer. So here we don't have oxygen, but we do have oxygen here, so that this layer tends to be larger than that layer. So there is a, when you do stacking along C direction, there is a size mismatch along the C direction. This mismatch produces structural deformation. the structural deformation basically induces rotation of this oxygen case, and also that comes with this trimerization. So trimerization itself is primary or the primary that couples with this ferroelectric polarization along C direction. So let me emphasize polarization directions. There are 2 plus C and minus C. In addition, there is trimerization. There are 3 ways of forming trimerization, so that there are 3 anti-phase trimerization domains. So total 6. Those 6 types of domains form this very interesting pattern. This is an optical microscope image. So here what we have is, if I blow up here, so what we have is basically 3 dark, 3 bright, 6 domains merging here. And we call this a 3 anti-phase domains, alpha, beta, gamma, polarization plus C, minus C, plus that I just showed plus and minus here. So 6 types of domains. So we have, let's say, plus starting from plus alpha, we have a minus beta, plus gamma, and minus alpha. So opposite here, we have a plus and minus, but opposite sign, but same alpha, alpha, anti-phase domain. And then beta, gamma, we repeat like this. So this kind of pattern we call G2 times G3 domains. Here, 2 means we have 2 directional variants, up and down. Here, 3 means we have 3 anti-phase domains. So form like this, and those, so 2 times 3, 6 domains merge at one point like this, and that produce something we call G6 vortex. So one can define vorticity, the sense of direction, rotation direction, so that this is a vortex. 6 domains merging like this, so this is the 6 vortex. If you have a G6 vortex here, the next one, this rotation direction is opposite, so that this is now G6 anti-vortex. So this vortex, anti-vortex in this hexagonal rare earth manganese oxide, one can do all kinds of interesting physics. I'll give you just 2 examples. One is magnetism. The system is magnetic. Manganese has a magnetic spin, but it's so-called 120-degree magnetic ordering comes in, so that there is no net ferromagnetic moment. However, at the domain wall, so domains like here or there, no net ferromagnetic moment. But at the domain wall, there is a ferromagnetic net moment. The direction is here, up and down, up, down, up, down. They repeat like this, around the one vortex core. So there is interesting magnetism at low temperature. Second thing I want to tell you is, since it's a ferroelectric, one can apply electric field along, let's say, plus C direction. Then plus P polarization domains is favored, minus P polarization domain is unfavored. Then this is what happens. So by applying electric field, this is a cartoon, but these cartoons are obtained from real experimental data image. So by applying electric field, some domain pattern like this changes to that. So this is something we call type 1. That's something we call type 2. So that's what happens with the electric field. So it's kind of interesting, but at the same time, it's confusing. But basically, what happens with the electric field is this. When you apply electric field, let's say this red domain is unfavored in the presence of the electric field, so it becomes smaller. The way it becomes smaller is that you cut here. When you cut here, basically you create wall anti-wall pair. So wall anti-wall pair is created by cutting here or by applying electric field. That's the dominant effect here. So creation of walls and anti-wall pairs. In addition, most of, let's say, here vortex core, anti-vortex core, they remain here after electric field. Most of them are like that. However, some of them, like here, let's say vortex, anti-vortex pair, they disappeared here. Vortex, anti-vortex pair, they also disappeared here. So sometimes, not often, but sometimes, vortex, anti-vortex annihilation can also occur when you apply electric field. So you can visualize all of these things. This is not a cartoon. This is from real experiment data. So that's insulating. That is insulating this ferroelectric hexagonal wealth, manganese O3 system. Now, completely different system. This transition metal, like chalcogenide, like a tantalum or disulfide. This is a cleaver crystal, so these days it becomes very popular. One can cleave all the way down to one monolayer. So that's a tantalum or sulfide. Now, between the layers, one can intercalate various ions, such as Fe ions. For particular composition, like one-third composition, so let's say one-third composition, Fe intercalated Fe ions, they order like this. They order like this, along C direction. Stacking is A, B, and coming back to A type. So A, B, A type. Now, around this interpolated Fe ion, there is a structural deformation. The deformation is like this. So it's a sulfide, so yellow, they are sulfur ions. The sulfur triangle here, you have also that triangle here. So this prism rotates along one direction. Because of this Fe ion, this prism, so bottom one, so below here, the bottom one here, that's shown here, the rotation direction is opposite. So this object, so around the, so that object, oh, by the way, the system is a ferromagnetic matter. It's completely different from hexagonal rare earth magnet. So this object, if you rotate by 180 degrees, it comes back. If you do the mirror refraction, it's now two different rotations. So in other words, this object is chiral. In other words, there should be two kinds of directional variance. One is left, the other one is right. Domains in this system looks like this. In fact, it looks almost identical with rare earth manganese oxide. So here what we have is this. So we have it's chiral, right? So we have a left and right. Left and right domains comes together like this. Here again, six domains merging one point. Here, also, we have three types of anti-phase domains. Those three types of anti-phase domains are something to do with location of this Fe. If this Fe can be here, or it can be somewhere here, or it can be somewhere there. There are three possible anti-phase domains because of this origin of this superlattice. So those two directional variants and then three anti-phase domains together form this kind of a domain structure. So A, B, C here refers three types of anti-phase domains. So here, again, even though this is a completely different system, this is metallic and the other one is insulating ferroelectric, the domain structure is identical. So here we have a Z2, two directional variants, Z3, three anti-phase domains. Forms a domain structure like this, but vortex is the sixth vortex. And of course, we do have also anti-vortex. That's kind of an introduction. So the main part I want to discuss is something called...
Identifying left and right from the picture.
Oh, that's excellent question. So how we can see this? How we can see this is... that's a million-dollar question. So basically, we can see by transmission electron microscope, TEM. But TEM can see only one domain wall. So if you see any domain wall in this kind of image, we see just one domain wall. Because TEM, we expand so much, we see only one domain wall. But we do know from the TEM experiment across domain wall, we have this left right. The chirality change always across one domain wall. That's the experimental fact that we do know. But we cannot scan the entire range to see everywhere is, in fact, we do have this left right chirality change. But combining with the fact that TM always we have across changing this chirality across domain wall. And then we have the six domains merging. Then we can conclude we have this kind of domain structure. Same question actually applies to this anti-phase switch. That can be also observed by TM. But again, we can see only one domain wall. So any domain world, each domain world, we have always a change of the this interface domains. That we do know as experimental fact, but we don't really know the overall configuration. But combining all this, every world is, in fact, you switch left, right, as well as interface. And then kind of a lower magnification experiment, one can, this is also actually TM data. From TM data, we can see domain like this. So if you put all these facts together, then this is the final conclusion. It can be opposite, exactly. We cannot really identify. We can tell clarity does change, but we cannot really tell it's left or right, correct. Right, so same thing applies to the first system. First system also, we have this alpha, beta, gamma, as well as up and down. Up and down is actually relatively easy. One can do so different experiments, such as PFM, but transmission electron microscope alone, one cannot tell up versus down. But we do know, at least the direction does change across one domain one. So, this is, okay, so this is the main topic I want to discuss. That's something called hybrid improper ferroelectric. Again, going back to insulating system and ferroelectric system. So Craig Fanny and his colleagues proposed this idea some not too long ago, like 11. The idea is rather simple. In perovskite related systems, if there are two types of rotations, auction Kesey rotations, that can be combined with, they can produce basically ferroelectric polarization through this kind of trilinear term. So trilinear term, that was his original idea. The probably many of you are familiar with this so-called Glaser notation for rotation or tilting. So for example, like here, A minus A minus C zero, this means tilting of auction K's around 110 axis. Okay, 110 axis tilting. This is a Glaser notation. Rotation around C axis. Rotation around C axis. Glaser notation goes like A0, A0, C plus. So this hybrid improper ferroelectric, the concept is shown here. I'm going to use a slightly different notation, different from Glaser notation. The concept is, of course, identical. But here, what I'm going to show is the distortion direction of apical auction when you have a tilting. So rotation, C is this here. So rotation can be plus or minus. Auction Kesey rotation, auction Kesey tilting around this 110 type axis. If you have that tilting, then this apical auction position can be either one of these four, one, two, three, four. So one, two, three, four shows the apical auction distortion direction. And then plus minus refers rotation direction. So if we have this rotation and auction case tilting or apical auction motion like this, then in perovskite we have ABO3. So BIN is sitting at the center of this auction case. AIN is sitting somewhere here. So if you do have, let's say, one type auction case, apical auction distortion, and then plus type auction case rotation. So one and then plus. With this combination, this A set ion distorts like this direction. Okay, so this is a kind of third direction in the sense that this is a one direction. Second direction is a rotation axis, which is a C direction. So this is perpendicular to those two directions. So this is a third direction. That's where A set ion distorts. That produces a ferroelectric polarization. So A site distortion is shown with these red arrows in perovskite structure. In perovskite, three-dimensional perovskite case, this A site ion distortion goes like this direction. But if you go next layer, it's opposite direction. So they cancel each other. So so the system becomes, in fact, anti-ferroelectric. That's this three vector directions shown more or less here. So auction, case, rotation. Tilting produces epic auction motion like this. A side IM motion is along this so-called third direction. Parallel polarization is something to do with this A side IM motion. Now, in perovskite case, it's ANT ferroelectric. However, if you have other number of A side IM layers, like in this case, if you have one, two, three, that means the B side ion, we have two layers. So, so-called 3-2-7 compounds, RP series, 3-2-7 compounds having these two layers, B ion, two layers, then A ion, there are three layers. Then this cancellation, they cancel each other, but this is a leftover. That produce bulk ferroelectric polarization in this 3-2-7 system. That's the concept of this hybrid improper ferroelectric. So Craig Fenney proposed this this ferroelectricity, A site ion distortion induced this ferroelectricity induced by combination of rotation and the tilting for these compounds. So A site, there are three possibilities. B site, there are five possibilities. So if you multiply 3 by 5, so Hidetaka knows the meaning of this. 3 times 5, so 15 different compounds. One is to fabricate. 15 different compounds, you have to grow single crystals, and then you have to measure this. It was a big job. It was tough. I can tell you all the background story, but I'm going to skip them. I'm going to tell you just the one successful one. I call this a prototypical, right? Okay, so this prototypical system is this calcium and titanium combination. Okay, calcium titanium combination. We have this big group, this big crystal, larger than 6 centimeter, and some broken piece. We see something like that. And the first image you saw is this guy. So under optical, polarized optical microscope, the crystal looks like this. So what you see, these beautiful lines, vertical or this horizontal direction, they are so-called orthorhombic twins or orthorhombic twin boundaries. So orthorhombic twin boundaries are like this. So the meaning is a ferroelastic direction can be like here. Let's say this is orthorhombic twin boundary, orthorhombic twin here and there, they are orthorhombic twins. This is a twin boundary. Ferroelastic direction is like this or that. So that they meet like this at the orthorhombic boundary. So ferroelastic direction is like this. The meaning of this is ferroelectric direction can be either this direction or that direction. In other words, within this one orthorhombic twin domain, there can be two types of ferroelectric domains. One is left, the other one is right. Same thing for this. That we cannot see under polarized optical microscope because light does not distinguish plus and minus. Okay, so here is a distortion that produces ferroelectric polarization, and this distortion direction can be, in this case, right or left, so that, that should be somewhere in this domain. So this system, in fact, we did measure so-called ferroelectric polarization loops. We have this nice square shape PE loops at room temperature. So we have this nice pattern we see. So what this means is the system is, in fact, ferroelectric at room temperature. Well, not a big deal, right? But I think it's a non-trivial deal, at least. So everybody knows what is perovskite. Perovskite is, in fact, it is a particular compound, mineral, calcium 1, titanium 1, oxygen 3, discovered about 200 years ago. To me, it's quite amazing that just changing this ratio a little bit, rather than 1-1-3, now it's a 3-2-7. So it's a double layer case. The ferroelectricity is discovered only in this year. Somehow people missed it. In fact, not just that, this is the first bulk room temperature ferroelectric oxide ever since 1971. some lead. If you are in federation field, you probably know this oxide history a little bit. Before this time, there were many new discoveries of ferroelectrics, but after that, at least in oxide, there was none. And then there is this discovery. So that is very different from, for example, like a superconductors, superconductivity, superconductors. Every year we have new ones, but somehow it didn't work for ferroelectrics. Yes? Question? Comments?
We have been quiet there for long.
We have been what?
Quiet.
Yeah. Well, that's not quite true. Yes, in terms of TC, yes. Yeah. But in terms of new superconductor, no. There are every year we have something. Okay, good. So again, optics does not see left polarization and right polarization. Okay, optics sees only kind of ferroelastic directions. In order to see this ferroelectric directions, one has to do PFM, piezoelectric force microscope. So this, again, this optical microscope image of orthonormic twin boundaries. And so in this region, if you do so-called in-plane piezoelectric force microscope, PFM, so we see some pattern like this. So you can see that actually this one domain, orthonormic one twin domain, is here. But within this domain, there are bright and dark. There are two domains. So they correspond to, let's say if this is this direction, ferroelastic direction, then one of them is ferroelectric direction is down, the other one is up, or it can be the other way. So within one orthonormic twin domain, we have, let's say, left and right, two domains, they show up like this. This is the real data in plane piezoelectric force microscope image. When we saw this, this was, in fact, a big surprise to us in the sense that, so left and right, that means that they have a relative angle is 180 degree, so-called 180 degree ferroelectric walls usually look like this. In other words, this wall is a parallel to this ferroelectric polarization direction, so that these walls becomes non-charged. If you have it like this, crossing like that, so this is so-called tail-to-tail wall, wall like that is head-to-head wall. All these walls are charged. That supports cost a lot of energy. It should not happen, but somehow we see more of that compared with this non-charged one. That was a big surprise to us. We couldn't quite understand. So that we did a little bit of statistics, the distribution of this kind of boundary wall angles. I'm not going to go into detail. The bottom line is this. There is no preferred ferroelectric wall directions. It's almost random. Anything like this is not particularly favored. So larger range, this implant PFM looks like this. So in this case, so one orthonormic twin domain, next twin domain, next twin domain, so and so forth. So domain structure. Again, it's very complicated, and it's almost random. It looks like random. So for pure sample and some strontium doped case, strontium doping produces smaller orthonormic twins like this compared with that. We analyze this in terms of this wall distribution, wall angle distribution. Again, I'm not going to go into details. The bottom line is this wall direction is pretty much random as function of angle. There's no particularly favored directions. It's pretty much random. So what this means is we have tons of charged walls. Supposed to cost a lot of energy, but we do experimentally observe lots of charged walls. Those charged walls are conducting. So if you do conductive atomic force microscope, so for example, like this wall here, so that wall is somewhere, somewhere like, okay, so where is the up down? Maybe somewhere here. Yeah, okay, so somewhere here, up down here. So that's here. So this dark here means highly conducting in CAF. Bright line here means less conducting, more insulating than the domain. So these walls are highly conducting, as well as highly insulating compared with domains. So we have tons of charged walls. Some of them are conducting, some of them are more insulating. And we did this angular dependence of a current and also tip voltage dependence. I'm not going to go into detail. So the bottom line is only 1 minute left. So, but the bottom line is we do have lots of charged walls, and about half of them are highly conducting. That's because when we have so-called head-to-head wall, then this head-to-head wall tends to get attract moving electrons, itinerant electrons, because the system is n-type. There are lots of moving electrons can be collected here, so that this wall becomes more conducting. That's the bottom line. That's somewhat different, opposite to this hexagonal manganite. In this case, some of this charged wall becomes conducting, but in that case, tail-to-tail walls are conducting. But this hybrid titanate case, head-to-head wall was conducting. So some of these walls are highly conducting like this. So this is a C direction, is conductivity. And this is CAFM image. And this valley means more insulating. This mountain means more conducting. So the system is titanium. I want to emphasize this. So CAFM, so we cannot quantify the conductance. In other words, we don't know conductivity. However, the system is a titanium system. It's a calcium 3 titanium 207. Titanium system in general tends to have a high mobility. You know all this strontium titanate, even TiO2, they have a high mobility. So we do expect actually a very good conduction. If there is some way to make this wall straight, then we may be able to get new kinds of a two-deck situation. Okay, so let me skip this. So the important next 1 minute, the very important question is why we have this strange domain pattern, and also why we have so many charged walls, and supposed to cost lots of energy. Why we have this? For that, I need to explain this. The possible this polarization directions and possible rotation directions. It turns out that for fixed polarization direction, like this direction polarization, there are two possible states, so-called 1 plus state or 3 minus state. 1 plus, remember, rotation like this, and epical axis moves like that. 3 minus means opposite rotation, however, epical axis moves opposite direction. Opposite direction, both tends to produce the same polarization direction. So what this means is that there should be, even though there are 4 possible polarization directions, but there should be 8 different states. And for each polarization, there are 2 designated states. They form anti-phase domains. They form anti-phase domains, and anti-phase domain boundary looks like this. So, so let me just go through this fast. So, the question is, so this is optical microscope. We see only ferroelastic domains. That is PFM image. PFM image, we see only ferroelectric domains. We don't see anti-phase domains. We don't see anti-phase domains. If you do transmission electron microscope, at the anti-phase domain walls, there should be destructive interference, so the wing can tear the presence of anti-phase boundary. So for example, like here, even the polarization is up here, polarization is up there, we do know there is an anti-phase boundary there, because TEM, transmission electron microscope, does see that anti-phase domain boundary, even though here and there, they have the same ferroelectric polarization direction. So observing these anti-phase domain boundaries, we make this conclusion. So some of this boundary, for example, like so for example, like this up domain and this up domain, 1 plus type, 3 minus type. This green line is anti-phase domain boundary. They can be seen only in transmission electron microscope. So if you see now all the domain walls, including anti-phase domain walls, then what you realize is every corner, so-called the topological vortex defect point, three domains always merge here. Three domains always merge here. In other words, we have a G3 vortex situation here. So one can come up with some energy diagram corresponding to this structure. The bottom line is this. So there are 8 possible states, even though there are 4 possible polarization directions. So the domain structure is a G4 times G2. 4 possible directional variants, 2 anti-phase domains, but this defect structure is always G3. It's not G8, it's a G3. So G3 vortex structure. Everywhere is like this. Everywhere is a G3 vortex. That's the domain structure we have. So we have the answer to these questions. These are strange domains, and also this abundant charged words. Why we have this? Because the system wants to have this particular domain topology. This topology plus this vortex structure. Because of that tendency, we tend to see these, and some of these charged words becomes conducting. So it's for physical properties, this is very much important. So this is the conclusion, the very last slide. So we have all these different types of domains. And I want to emphasize this kind of large-scale domain topology and also this topological defect structure, vortex structure, and understanding the world physical properties. Often worlds do have different physical properties. That's all important for complex materials. Thank you very much for your attention, as well as the chair.
Okay, so we still have 10 minutes for questions. Shi Dai.
Yes, for each of
wait,
them.
Wait, you have to use this.
Yeah, for each manganese, it's a multifaceted material, right? So what is the magnetic order pattern?
Oh, I went through too fast, I guess. You're one of the smartest person in this room, but somehow you missed the damage I gave really. Bad presentation. Okay, so I don't know how fast I can go, but so yes, you're right. Ferroelectric transition is very high, like order of 1,000 degree C. However, below 100 K, there is a magnetic ordering. And when magnetic ordering comes in, of course, this vortex structure, this ferroelectric vortex structure,
influences
magnetic magnetic domain structure. And but in domain, manganese, remember it has this triangular lattice or hexagonal lattice. Manganese spins are in the plane. The order of the spins are in the plane, and they order with so-called 120 degree spin order, so that there is no ferromagnetic moment. In domains, however, at domain walls do have a net ferromagnetic moment, even though domains, most part of the sample doesn't have a ferromagnetic moment, but only domain walls do have a ferromagnetic moment, and those ferromagnetic moments are visible under MFM, magnetic force microscope at low temperature. So this is a magnetic structure. So domain, no contrast means no net ferromagnetic moment. At domain wall, this bright line here means at this domain wall, there is a ferromagnetic net moment, in this case pointing upward plus C direction. Next domain wall, there is a net ferromagnetic moment, but that net moment direction is now downward. They alternate up, down, up, down, up, down. Around this vortex core, not just here. In fact, the entire network is consistent with that arrangement.
So this is
not very clear in this picture, but it's related with the bipartite nature of this so-called graph.
Yeah. So my second question, in this series of material, by any chance you can make the magnetization ferromagnetic and just force the spin pointing to the Z direction to fall. Is that possible?
Yes, but why? I wonder why you're asking.
Then it's, I would say it's probably you can get a YSM metal phase.
Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it'll be also even more interesting what happened at the domain wall, right? But experimental thing, let me just tell you. So there is I don't know if I can explain this. So there is a 120 degree magnetic order of manganese spins within AB plane like this. However, there is a ferroelectric polarization along C direction, and there are all kinds of structure distortion. So that when you apply magnetic field along this direction, this spin rotates by about I think 30 degree. Then suddenly, this spin catches ferroelectric distortion along C direction, so it becomes canted. So rotates and then canted. So it becomes with small magnetic field order of let's say Tesla, it does become weak ferromagnetic state along C direction. But I don't think that's what you want. What you want is a fully magnetized case. So full magnetization, the magnetic range temperature is order of 100 K, so that probably order of 100 Tesla one can magnetize this, which is possible. So, you know, while whatever, under 100 Tesla, I guess that's very interesting, but we have not tried that yet.
So, would it be possible to control the configuration of domain and domain boundary by applying electric field and magnetic field?
Yes. So this is, for example, one
example. Yeah, in electric field, okay. So suppose you apply the first in that direction, and if you apply in the perpendicular direction,
right,
electric field,
right,
you can tune the species, okay, of domain and domain boundaries?
Yes. Okay. So this, so remember, this is AB plane, so plus C and minus C direction. And this E, even though arrow is this way, electric field is one of these, either plus C or minus C direction. And this is what happens, right? And your question is, what happens when you apply electric field on the in plane direction? That we haven't really tried. But let me say this way. We just did some preliminary experiment, and we didn't see anything really interesting. On the other hand, what I can tell you is this. So in terms of manipulating those vortices and anti-vortices, this is what we can do. So we have a sample here, right? We can pull like this. We pull like this. We apply strain like this direction. If you apply strain this direction, vortex moves that way, anti-vortex moves that way. So there is a Magnus type force can be created by through the strain. Experimentally, we have done it. So pull like this. There is a Magnus perpendicular direction force, and vortex moves in one direction, and anti-vortex moves opposite direction. So we can control that through strain, at least in this particular system. Other systems, such as this ion tantalum sulfide, we have not tried, and also this hybrid imperable ferroelectric, also we have not tried. But this we have tried, and not just this manipulation. I think your question is also the dynamics of this, how it happens, kind of dynamic process. So for example, like this system, this kind of manipulation can be done only at high temperature. So that a low temperature, such as room temperature, at least in this particular case, they tend to be pinned by impurities.
Okay, we can take, I guess, a couple of quick questions. So one here and one here.
I have a somewhat marginally related comment. So you talked about this lithium magnet, hexagonal magnet system. There's a, I think, same structure, there's a different compound, lithium osmite. That is a ferroelectric, that is, has a structure undergoes a polar transition, but it's a metal. So this is a rare example of so-called ferroelectric metal. And in generally, one can show on theory ground that whenever a metal breaks spatial inversion symmetry, there's an interesting spin texture in the bulk of the Fermi surface. So that's, just to say that.
Yeah, okay, so.
Related to spin-off coupling.
Yeah, okay, so that's very interesting to hear. I didn't know lithium osmite does have this ferroelectric distortion. Certainly spatial inversion breaking will influence, especially when you have a large spin orbit coupling and spin texture formation when you have a polarization state is, so that. I believe that. And we have also experimental evidence for some particular system. It's iridium telluride. It's a completely different system, but anyway, there is some evidence for that, which has a breaking space in the symmetry, some kind of spin, this texture in Fermi surface or band structure does show up. But one question I want to ask you back is, so when you have a chiral transition, not just polarization, you can have a chirality as well as a polarity together. But however, one can have also only chirality without polarization. And in that case, this chiral structure distortion, how that's going to influence some metallic, you know, kind of a spin texture in large spin orbit coupling system. I think that's also quite an interesting question.
So basically, for all these type of inversion symmetry breaking order, whether it's ferroelectric or chiral, And the spin texture would be of different types, but they all lead to spin
textures. They're all interesting.
And the spin texture basically keeps track of the symmetry of the order parameter.
Okay, very good.
That's something that can be measured by spin uppers.
Okay, very good. So the system I discussed is iron doped tantalum sulfide. It does not have a particularly, it's a chiral, right, as I discussed, but it does not have a particularly large spin-up coupling. However, there are lots of other transition matter that is chalcosinite, which has a large, huge spin-up coupling, where one can do similar kind of intercalation and then chirality. In the beginning, you don't have chirality. One can create a chirality by intercalation and spin texture formation. I think that's a very interesting thing to be pursued, theoretically and experimentally. Yes.
Okay. I have two questions, but I'll just ask one. I don't quite understand why in the hexagonal magnetites you're forced to have six domains meet at these six-fold vortices.
Okay, good.
Whereas in your new system, you have eight possible domains and you have only threefold.
Yeah, right. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a very, very, very important. That's the essence of my entire presentation, but I lost time in the kind of last. So I don't know how much time I have. Answer that question. Oh, thank you. You have a great chair here. Okay. So the bottom line is this. So it's very important to know exact energy landscape. Okay. We have a Z4 times Z2. In other words, a possible state doesn't mean you're going to have a Z8 vortex. Okay. What we have, what we're going to have depends on kind of energetics of domain walls. What kind of domains walls do have a lowest energy? And so this hexagonal magnetite case, wall energy is in such a way that you're going through all six possible states, has the lowest possible defect state, topological defect state. But in this titanite case, there is a shortcut. You don't go through all of them. That costs too much energy. The shortcut is going through only three of them. That is shown in this something I call energy diagram. So going through only three, so that means a G3 vortex is a lower energy. That's why it happens. I'm not gonna make it. So that how many possible directional variance, how many possible anti-phase domains, that's not sufficient to know the macroscopic domain pattern. What we really know is a kind of a wall energy, energetics. So for example, like even though there are eight possible states here, going through this costs the lowest energy. Here this line means basically the wall. So this line basically means the wall connecting this one and that one means this one has a low wall energy, so that going through here will be sufficient to have one topological defect, and that defect is the lowest energy. So because of this, this tendency is actually very energetically, open is very strong. People try to calculate this wall energy, but that requires huge computer power and it's not easy. And very often it's not consistent with even experimental data. So finding out exact energetics of walls in different materials like this wall, hexagonal magnetite, I think that's all important question.
But in general, you would expect to have vortices like whenever you have, say three or more.
It depends on
Maybe I'll ask you after.
The answer is very, really short. The answer is like this: if there are enough number of degrees of freedom, yes. If there is a two liter, like two, one, two, three, no. So if you have enough number, usually it goes more than five. So there's a kind of a boundary between four and five. If it is more than five, you tend to get this vortex structure. That's an easy, simple answer to your question. Important question, though.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Nice.